For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, hardwood floors add value and visual appeal, so keeping them in shape is a top priority.
And if you're not sure whether to repair or replace a weathered hardwood floor, This Old House general contractor Tom Silva is here with tips on both. Welcome, Tom. Great to see you.
Hi, guys. It's always nice to be here.
Hardwood floors are pretty darn durable. There's probably few scenarios when you actually have to rip it out, correct?
Yeah, they have to be pretty bad to rip it out. A lot of people today, if they're stained or a little beaten up, what they're even doing is they're refinishing because everybody wants the reclaimed wood.
Right.
So now they're just saying it's a reclaimed floor, and it looks great.
So beat up is in.
Beat up is in. But if, you know, I mean, lots of times you don't have to replace a whole floor. You can patch it in. I've done a lot of patches around old radiators where the floor just rots around it from the steam.
Mm-hmm.
Hardest part about the job is almost taking the radiator out and getting the radiator back in because it's so heavy.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute, because hardwood floors are tongue and groove. So how do you sort of excise that one piece of hardwood to get a new piece in?
Well, you got to start in the middle and work your way out. So what I like to do is I'll either take a router and I go right down the middle, or I take a skill saw and go down the middle, take the centerpiece out, and then work back in to the center and work your way out that way. And there is a wear layer. So above that tongue or above that groove, you have so much material that you can take out before you've destroyed the integrity of that floor system. So you want to make sure that you don't oversand it, because once you've destroyed it, then you're going to have to replace it.
Now, that's a great point, because I think folks that want to refinish floors automatically want to go to the belt sanding step.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's a big machine.
And it's an animal.
It is an animal. You have to use it very, very carefully. But you don't always have to go there unless you've really got some serious damage in your hardwood. Can't you just buff it out and lightly sand it?
I love the buffer with a screening pad. Mm-hmm. And I tell people, keep your eye on your floors, your hardwood floors, especially in the wear areas, like where the kitchen sink is. Keep a little accent map down there, because believe it or not, you wear that finish just by turning back and forth, going into the dishwasher, back and forth. That wears it out. But keep your eye on the finish. If you start to see the finish wearing, get a buffer with a screening pad and screen the floor. Get that top layer off. That'll really clean it down. And then put a couple of coats of poly on it. You'll get a few more years out of it.
No and when problem. You apply that poly, best way to do that is not necessarily with a brush, correct?
Oh, yeah. You do a brush, you'll be aching. I like to just dump it on the floor a little bit, and I spread it around with a lamb's wool pad, and it spreads out really fast.
One thing I've learned about refinishing floors, never believe the drying time on the can.
No. That's for
it
sure.
It always takes longer.
Yeah, and the thing is you got to remember something about the finish on the hardwood floor. Although it may feel dry, it's still soft underneath, so you got to be careful for a few days.
Yeah, good point. Now, if a major sanding is required for deeper scratches, we talked about the sanding machine, the floor sander is essentially a very, very big, heavy belt sander. Probably not a good idea to do that yourself, because that's a piece of equipment that takes a lot of skill, correct?
All it takes is 1 second of you having the floor sander and your son or your daughter or your neighbor coming in and say, "Hey, Tom," and you stop on that floor for a second, you've just gone down an eighth of an inch.
Yep.
And on a hardwood floor, you can't afford to go down an eighth of an inch.
So that's a job best left to a pro.
Absolutely.
Now, what about cleaning hardwood floors? People are reluctant to put any kind of moisture on there. What do you recommend for keeping your floor in good shape?
I do like a mop that's not soaked. You know, a damp mop over the floor really quick is not bad, because it gets off that little grit that's there. But I don't recommend putting wax on polyurethane floors, because it will dull the finish. Years ago when I was a kid, we had varnishes, and we used to wax the varnished floors once a year. And it really looked beautiful, but they can be slippery.
Good advice. We're talking to Tom Silva, the general contractor on TV's This Old House. And one more question. Let's talk about a common side effect of hardwood floors, squeaking hardwood floors.
Yeah.
Any easy ways to fix that while we're at it?
Squeaky floors, they can squeak for a couple of reasons. They can squeak because the floorboards have shrunk a little bit, and they're moving independently, and they're moving actually on the nail that is holding them down. They slide up and down. Or it could be the subfloor and the flooring itself that is attached to one another, pulling itself out of the joist, squeaking there also. And they actually have a pretty good system that is a screw that the head snaps off with a little attachment that when you screw through the floor, it snaps the head of the screw off. So the screw sinks down about an eighth of an inch below it. Then you can use a putty stick to fill in that void.
Oh, that's a cool idea. So basically you tighten up the loose board, snap off the head of the screw, and touch it up with putty.
Yeah, and you got to find the joist. So finding the joist, you can try a stud finder, or you can use a real long eighth inch drill bit and drill a couple of holes between the joints of the board, and you won't notice the holes. Once you find that joist, mark it and then measure 16 inches in both directions from that across your room, and you'll find your joist.
Great tricks of the trade. Tom Silva from This Old House, thank you so much for stopping by the Money Pit.
My pleasure, and always good to see you guys.
All right, catch the current season of This Old House and Ask This Old House on PBS. For local listings and step-by-step videos of many common home improvement projects, visit thisoldhouse.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.